This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Oh, baby. Love that spot with Eddie Olczyk. Great to have hockey back. We'll give you our hockey bets for the games coming up later tonight at the end of the show, as well as, you know, we get to do Mariners-Tigers because first pitch has been announced for Game 3 in Detroit for 7 o'clock Eastern. So literally 40 minutes from now, we'll have Tigers-Mariners, and then a little bit after that, we will have Game 3. My Yankees against the Toronto Blue Jays as the Yankees look to stave off elimination. So that's coming up 20 minutes from now. But joining us right now to talk Week 6 in the National Football League. Okay. Got a goatee now. I think I like it. The Whale Capper, Drew Densick from NBC Sports. On Twitter at @whale_capper. My friend, welcome back to the show. Happy Week 6. What was the thought process that went into the goatee? I like it.
I still have a beard. It was a little shorter on the sides and kind of looks like a goatee. But I'm probably going to grow the beard back if we're being honest.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't like kind of look like a goatee. It just looks like a goatee. Drew, first question always to you is, what is your favorite bet this weekend in the National Football League, side or total, and why?
Saints +3.5 because the Patriots are good and not great, and they find themselves on a road against a team that can go score for score with them. Decent little kind of sell high spot here as everybody is glossing Drake May and the Patriots after beating the Bills in a game where the Bills beat themselves for a lot of that game, in my opinion. And I think ultimately fair is on the other side of three here. So the fact that you're capturing three with the +3.5 is a pretty decent bet. My fair would be about 2.9. So not a huge edge, but definitely one of the more valuable points you can score with the home dog.
Wow, Saints +3.5, your favorite bet of the week. Do you love the card this week like you said you did last week?
Not even remotely. I think I have four sides in pocket so far and haven't bet any totals yet. Haven't had any news or information come across the wire that has really inspired me to get involved with anything. So right now looking a little light.
Well, it's Tuesday. And you said you had four bets. You gave us one. Give us another.
Sundays, I'm back in the two road NFC West teams. We'll go with the Niners +3 first, expecting that Mac Jones is your starter. And I know he's limited with the PCL injury, but they are playing him through it, and he is performing very well. I think the wizardry that Kyle Shanahan is drawing up in terms of the way he's scheming the offense, he's having quietly one of his best years, is just in terms of getting players in position to make plays, even if they're not winning, you know, talent-wise. And there's also a world where San Francisco gets a couple of extra players back this week with the 10 days of extra rest coming off of that Thursday night football game. If you start to see and hear a little bit of buzz that Jennings and Pearsall in particular are available for this one, I think the threes evaporate. So this is one that I bet pretty early, looking to score a little value beyond just liking the Niners as they're in their matchup against Tampa Bay. In general, I think Tampa Bay is a really tough handicap right now. Obviously, Ibuka having the breakout rookie season is an awesome story. The fact that Baker Mayfield is slinging it so confidently, particularly at the end of games when the going gets tough and he kind of makes the right plays to get his team in position to win is cool. And I think Tampa Bay is pocketing wins now that are going to matter a ton for playoff seeding when it comes to NFC getting home. Yeah, this honestly, this Niners Bucks is massively important for one seed when it all boils down. I have the Niners as a healthy lead right now in the NFC West with the losses that Seattle and the Rams took last week, and just the Niners having the two road wins against Seattle and LA is huge. I'm scoring them to get through as your NFC West champion and pretty close in terms of projected wins between the Niners and the Bucks. So this game flipping one way or the other is going to really guide, I think, a lot of who gets the one seed in the NFC right now. I don't mind going to war with the wizard that is Kyle Shanahan and his cast of misfit toys who are just absolutely still just lighting the world on fire. It is way cool to watch them on offense. It's pretty magical. And I think in general against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that has some good breakout stars in the secondary, but ultimately still relies pretty heavily on generating pressure and leaving those stars on an island, I think that's going to be a problem up against Shanahan and company. So I think the Niners can probably win this one outright, but I just took the +3 -114 thinking that ultimately this thing closes inside the field goal.
So New Orleans +3.5, San Francisco +3. You said you've got four. I know you're good at math. That means we have two more. give us another.
I fired Seattle money line against the Jags. Congratulations to the Jags for, you know, very, very compelling victory on Monday Night Football. You know, I didn't have skin in the game one way or the other from a side perspective. I just needed the second half over, and that got there pretty easily. But I felt like watching the game, like that freaking pick six from Lloyd was so unbelievably pivotal in terms of outcome. And then, you know, yes, there was a turnover thereafter that set the Chiefs up with a pretty important game tying score. But I still felt like that a lot of what the Jags are doing success wise, particularly on defense, is so clearly fueled by these fluky turnovers, and maybe they continue to keep hitting that button, but now up against the Seattle team that takes care of the ball well, and Sam Darnold, who's playing at a top five level right now, I think the Jags are in a little bit of trouble, and the Seahawks are going to be able to score on this team, play from ahead, and dictate game state to a degree. Seattle Seahawks defense was exposed through the air, surprisingly, against the Buccaneers, but I felt like that was the 99th percentile Baker game. You put the ball in Trevor's hands and you say, don't make a mistake for four quarters. So that you're asking him a lot. He's going to give you a couple of put the ball to the ground once, put the ball up for grabs once or twice. And I think Seattle can ball hawk their way to a couple turnovers here. And then on the flip side, Seattle's run defense right now, top two standalone, very, very peerless, really, with how well they're defending the run so far this season against a pretty tough slate. And I think the Jaguars are going to have a really tough time getting anything going on the ground. So they're going to be behind the sticks. They're going to be asking Lawrence to get it done third and long. And I think that's going to set things up for Seattle to get a couple of takeaways. Meanwhile, the Jaguars can't keep hitting that pick six button. It's going to run out at some point. So Seattle for me is power rated 2 points better than the Jags on a neutral field. So I will take the money line at +100 in Jacksonville.
All right. So you like New Orleans, you like San Francisco, you like Seattle. What's the last one that you really like this week?
This one's a leap. Bear with me.
Oh boy. Right, let me put the seatbelt on real quick.
You kind of can't count on, you can't look at this year's data and say that this is a good bet. The Bears stink. They're getting by also basically on turnovers and fluky stuff that's not repeatable. But they're taking on a Commanders team in a really good spot where the Bears coming in are going to be coming off their bye. I'm expecting, in general, I had this one circled preseason, just expecting that Ben Johnson was going to be able to take what he had through 4 weeks, make the adjustments needed to have this Bears offense take a meaningful step forward coming out of the bye. And so this is basically just a bet on Ben Johnson having his team ready to punish a Commanders defense that I do not think warrants the kind of the superlatives that you're seeing with how they're rated EPA per play and or just generally, you know, the general defensive ranking wise. They're kind of coming in like the 10-12 range. This is a very, very beatable defense, and I'm kind of excited to see what Ben Johnson has up his sleeve for how he wants to take advantage of these guys, how he wants to put Bobby Wagner and company in a blender in this one. And while the Bears defense is certainly done nothing to suggest competence through 4 weeks of the season, at least they're getting guys healthy and back. I know that important players will not be back at all this season for them, but I think they'll be a little bit stronger team just in terms of available personnel against the Commies. And ultimately, I don't know that the Bears win this game outright, but my fare would be 3.3. So the fact that you're getting 4.5 and that my most likely outcome is that the Commanders win by 3. Happy to have 4.5 in pocket with the Bears, and think we're going to get a pretty competitive contest here in Washington in the second of the two Monday Night Football games.
You bet on this Tuesday. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, the great Drew Dinsick with us, the Whale Capper from NBC Sports, on Twitter at @whale_capper, also co-host of the Deep Dive podcast with our buddy Andy Molitor. Well, Sunday Night Football, Chiefs laying 2.5 against the Lions, total 52. I'll be the square favorite in the over. What say you in about a minute, Chiefs and Lions?
My projected score is 26 to 23.5. So 2.5 would have been exactly where I would have lined this sucker. My total is just under 50. Yeah. Yeah. My total is just under 50. So if I'm playing anything, I'm playing the under here, which doesn't feel great considering how when these two quarterbacks are really, really cooking, it's, you know, this could be a first to 40 type of game and I wouldn't be shocked. But no, the Chiefs offense was, I thought, pretty doggone impressive yesterday. Incredibly successful, just down to drive. But this is a tough test now. This Lions team, despite missing a couple of pieces in secondary, has been really, 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 really solid at the linebacker level all year long. Hutchinson obviously looks like he has returned to form pre-injury, and they may be even getting Alan McNeil back this week, which is a huge boon for the Lions D line. But there are clear ways to pick on the secondary, in my opinion, and I think the Chiefs are going to be able to find ways to do that. And then on the flip side, not entirely sold that everything is fixed here for the Lions offense, despite their run of form and the points that they're scoring. This is a massive step up in competition from what we've seen from them this last couple of weeks. And I think that there's certainly a world and a game state here where the Chiefs are playing a little bit of keep away if they can generate a lead. So this may be one where I'm playing the under. I know that there's been a little bit of enthusiasm today for this over. It's up to 53. At some spots. So I haven't bet it yet, but under's probably going to be on my card.
What are your thoughts on Joe Flacco, new QB1 in Cincinnati? Bengals, 2 touchdown dogs this week at Lambeau. And can Flacco kind of keep this team afloat if and when Joe Burrow comes back in December?
I doubt it. I didn't really see anything from Flacco so far this year that suggests that he has any of the magic that was up his sleeve in his comeback year 2 years ago when he took the Browns that final leg to the playoffs. My general read is that the Bengals offense right now is looking for any spark. The offensive line is rating bottom 5. Wide receiver group obviously is very, very talented, but they can't do it by themselves. The running game is atrocious and in general, keeping the Bengals behind schedule. Flacco doesn't really solve any of the problems that I clearly kind of think exist for this Bengals squad. And I think you're going to squint and be like, oh, cool, they got old Jake Browning back there now. Like he's kind of doing a lot of the same stuff before he got benched to putting balls up for grabs and just in general, not making good decisions when the pocket breaks down. And the pocket's going to break down pretty aggressively in this game. Kind of unfair to make 40-year-old Flacco play Micah Parsons and company twice through 5 weeks of the season or 6 weeks of the season. But this is going to be a 31-3 type of beatdown, I think, for the Packers. And I wasn't really sure how the market was going to react to bringing Flacco in. It doesn't really feel like anyone is making this a clear upgrade for them, which I agree with. But if this does drift to 14, people believing that the Bengals are going to be competitive, I might lay 14 with the Packers because I think a lot of what you saw from them last week with kind of the backdoor garbage time scoring against the Lions isn't going to fly against the Packers team and the Packers defense in particular that I think is going to make a statement coming out of the bye and matches up extremely well against this Bengals squad.
I want to ask about Ravens-Rams, but like we need to see a couple injury reports for the Ravens before I think we can have any conversation about this game. And I'm not like Lamar's not going to play, but we need to know if is Huntley playing? Are the defensive players back? So we'll table that for at least a day until we can see an injury report. So instead, let's close here. We have a minute to go. I want to ask you about a really gross underdog that I like for this weekend. Now, last week you came on and said, and look, it was early in the week pre-Brock Bowers. So you wanted to bet against the Colts as a huge favorite. I don't even know if you bought out of that bet. You said that on Tuesday, and then Bowers ruled out over the weekend. I look at this Cardinals spread, Colts -6.5, and every Cardinals game comes down to the final play. And they lose, but they're in there until the end. Any desire to bet the Arizona Cardinals this week against the Colts? We have like a hard 30 seconds.
My numbers say to do it, and I haven't pulled the trigger, so I think I'm ultimately going to walk away.
Like by a
not
lot,
by
right?
a not, not by a lot. I'm at I'm at 3.9, so four. I'm at four.
It's 6.5.
You're not, you're not capturing hugely valuable numbers, though. It's really just six.
You get 4 and 6.
Well, I mean, I would make it 4, right? So it's like, you know, you're not really capturing a ton there. Like 300 money line. I'm close enough on like just outright winning probability here for the Colts. I think maybe it should just be a little bit tighter. I got to tell you, the Cardinals coaching staff
and we have some news here, by the way, on this. We have some news on this, by the way. Jonathan Gannon, Cardinals head coach, just got fined. He did not get fired, which I think you were probably expecting me to say. Got fined. So like N instead of R. Got fined $100,000 for punching one of his teammates, punching one of his players in the chest on Sunday. We're out of time.
Brutal
Will.
Work.
Great job as always on the show. I don't even know if you had them in Survivor. It's just the worst of all time.
I did not. I have Mike McDonald, first coach fired, though, so I was sweating.
Mike McDaniel.
Sorry.
All right, all our bets for tonight coming up on the other side.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.